You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Get in your Bibles, James 3, verse 5. James 3, verse 5. We are in a series, A Genuine Disciple, working through the book of James. And so this is message 2 of Taming the Tongue. I know it feels like a long time ago, but just before the revival, I did preach a message 1, Taming the Tongue. And so I want to add to what we spoke about in that. But before we read the scripture, I want to make a statement. Man cannot live alongside certain animals, meaning that man cannot go into the jungle and just lie down next to a lion. How many know man cannot do that? It's just not going to work. Man cannot, go and just get a lion and bring him to his house, a fully fledged lion that's grown up in the wild. Man cannot buy a massive swimming pool and just put a shark in it and swim and pet the shark. He cannot do it. A man cannot go to a swamp and then find a crocodile or an alligator and bring that home and just put it in his front room. If he was to do those things, how many know he's going to be very soon, his lifespan is going to be very short. And so there are things in this life man can really not live beside because they're way too powerful. The nature of these things are destructive to man. It will tear him apart. And so for man to live with them, he must place some boundaries. He must lay down some safety restrictions. He has to either lay down these boundaries or he's going to have to tame them. He's going to have to tame these things because an untamed lion or untamed animal which is ferocious basically is going to cause a lot of damage. Well, I want to speak about something else that man has to tame, and it's the tongue, and it's equally ferocious. And just like you would think of it to be ridiculous to live with an animal like a lion or a crocodile, and there's no taming, there's no protection, be ridiculous, the same is when you live with your tongue, which is untamed. And so we want to preach about this. James 3, chapter 5, let's read along. In the word of God, the Bible says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Father, you'd move in this place. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us today. Lord, not just words, but Father, let it have spiritual impact, implications. Let it educate us, but change us, empower us. Father, right now, we just lay this time that you would be glorified. Father, I pray that you would just consecrate our tongues, that they would be used for the glorifying of you. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
amen.
When you read this scripture about the tongue, it doesn't really show the tongue as a positive thing. Think of some of the words here. Set on fire by hell. It is unruly evil. I mean, it's an evil thing that you can't even control. It says full of deadly poison. I want to say is that we want to start with this understanding. Your tongue needs taming. Your tongue needs taming. every single one of us here, as you sit here today, you may be young, you may be old, you may be black, you may be white, you may be rich, you may be poor, you could be man or woman, your tongue and my tongue needs taming. That's what the Bible is saying. Your tongue and my tongue, it needs to be controlled. Your tongue is dangerous. Look at someone and say, your tongue is dangerous. Look back and say, yours is dangerous. If you're sitting next to your spouse, anyway, we're not even going to go there. Listen, your tongue needs taming. You need to get your tongue under control. Look at someone and say, get it under control. You need to get that thing under control. Let me say how we think. Most people think, whatever I think, that's what I'm going to say. You ever, you know, that's how people are. Whatever I think, that's what I'm going to say. However I see it, I'm going to call it. That's what I'm going to say. Wherever I see it, I'm going to call it. I say what I think. Whatever's on my mind, I tell you. And we look at it as if to say, well, we speak truth. We look at it and say, we're the opposite from the flatterer. You know, the flatterer, oh, what a lovely dress. No. The flatterer is saying nice things so that you'll think nice things about them. And so we think the opposite of that is everything I want to say, I'm going to say it. And we boast in that. Some people are very, listen, I think that's something about me that I had to be careful about, because that's how I thought. If I think it, I'm going to tell you. I'll just say it as it is. I speak the truth. I tell you how I think. If it's on my mind, I'm going to tell you. And I thought, yeah, you know, I thought that was a badge of honor. That whatever comes in my mind comes out my mouth. Not understanding the danger of the tongue. Not understanding that the tongue needs to be tamed and controlled. Just like you can't allow a lion to run wild. Imagine a lion comes in the door here. And we just allowed it. A wild lion. They took it from the jungle and they just brought it in a cage, opened the door and let it in here. None of us are going to be sitting here. We'd run out. Put a leash on that. Put a chain on it. Put a cage on it. The Bible says this is how we must treat the tongue. But I just call it as it is. Okay. Proverbs 29 verse 11. A fool vents his feelings. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. You allow all of your feelings out. You're not a vent. This is a vent. There's vents in the middle here. I don't know if there's any others. Around the building we have aircon, there's vents. That's how the air comes out. It escapes. The Bible says that a fool feels something and his mouth is the vent. Whatever he feels at that time, if he feels angry, anger comes out. Frustration comes out. Whatever the Bible says, that's a fool. A fool does that, gives vent to his feelings. But a wise man holds them back. A wise man understands, hold up, I may feel this. You know, sometimes people have said things, you know, not everything has to be said. Let me say, you may be, you know, at one point in your life, you see something, you just don't get on with them. Maybe they came into church one day and they just stepped on your toe. Maybe they just looked at you funny. And you just got to be in your bonnet. You're carnal, you're emotional, you're super sensitive, Mr. or Mrs. And so you I don't like them. And so you start to carry this grudge and now you're feeding it. You know, people are nurturing their grudge. Yeah, I don't like that person. And then they crack a little joke and that makes you even more angry. And then one day you come to the altar, you get your heart right. So for 6 months, you didn't like them. For 6 months, you hated them. If you just saw the silhouette of their head, you wanted to stab them or do something. But now you've got your heart right, and now you're going to repair your relationship with them. Let me tell you what the silly thing is to do, is to go to that person and say, you know what? For the last 6 months, I hated you. I despised you. When I saw your head, your forehead. I saw you in that dress. You look, I hated it. I was happy. Listen, you're not going to... No. How many of you don't need to say that to them? What should you do? Just go. You've dealt with it internally. You've left it at the altar. Hey, how you doing? Hey, what are you doing this week? Thursday? nothing's going on. Hey, let's go out for coffee, come around my house for fellowship. Not everything you have to talk about. And some people know, we've got to get it out in the open. We've got to talk about this. Listen, you do more damage. Some things you got to hold back. We're not talking about lying or deceiving. Listen, Proverbs 17, 28. Even a fool is counted wise when they hold their peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. What it's saying is a foolish person, if a foolish person shuts their mouth, we may even be fooled into thinking that they are wise. That's what he was saying. It says, even a fool, if they shut their mouth and they don't say anything, least then people may think that you're not a fool. But as soon as you open your mouth, the Bible says, the foolishness is revealed. You have to control. You ever heard about these people that they'll go to London Zoo and then some guy will jump in with the lions? He just wanted to climb in the lion's den, and next minute the lion is, and the zoo people have to go in and rescue him and pull him out, and everyone, oh, no, no, you're a fool. God is good. Think about this. This is the same thing with words. It's the same thing. It's foolish just to let your tongue run. Listen to what I'm saying today. You know what the Bible is saying to us? Tame your tongue. If you are not taming your tongue, you are going to get into a lot of problems. Ephesians 5 verse 4 speaks about how a Christian should conduct themselves and speak. It says that a Christian should speak neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. And so I was looking at this text of scripture in the Barnes commentary. Did you guys get that? You got the Barnes commentary? Okay, so this is the Barnes, and I put this up here because I don't want people to think, you know, it's just pastor's words. And so what the Barnes commentary does, it breaks down the meaning of the text. There is a guy, he's gone into the Greek words and he's given us the understanding of the text. And so in the text it says filthiness. And it speaks about speaking, you can see up the top there, having a conversation which is indecent or shameful. Is that a Christian shouldn't speak about shameful things. You shouldn't be speaking about things. What do you mean by shameful things? Well, things that, you know, that a Christian ain't got no business talking about. So many times Christians will be talking about things, sinful things, habits of unsaved people. Oh, did you hear who's sleeping with who? This person had five. Listen, we don't need to be talking about that as a Christian. How many know we don't need to be talking about that? Where you're speaking about things, certain things you should not be talking about, they're shameful. Certain things in your past, God has saved you, leave them. Listen, bro, we don't care who you was before you came in the church. We don't want you coming around in the church saying, enough gallon. No. We don't want to know about that. Let me put something out here. You do not need to go into your past that won't affect your future with the person that you're dating. The Bible says that shameful things you don't need to talk about. Listing off all your ex-girlfriends and your ex-boyfriends and what you did and how long you did it for. Shameful. The Bible says these are things should not come out of a Christian's mouth. There are many Christians that are talking things they shouldn't be talking about. You need to tame your tongue. Look at someone and say, tame your tongue. Ooh, it's getting hot in here. He says, nor foolish talking. The word means the kind of talk which is insipid, senseless, stupid. God, the Bible says, why are you talking stupid talk? Foolishness. Which is not suited to instruct. Listen, instruct, edify, profit. The idle chitter chatter, which is common in the world. How many Christians just talk idle chitter chatter? Talking stuff that does not instruct, edify, or profit. Some Christians, I listen to them, and whatever comes out of their mouth is really just foolish talking. It's senseless, stupid. Who would be edified from that? Who would be encouraged by that? Who would be instructed by that? Where you see people and they're just constantly just talking that, talking this, talking that. What are you talking? What are you talking? How? Who will it instruct? Who will it edify? Who will it profit? It's idle chitter chatter. Chat, 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 chitter, chit, chat, 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 chat. Sound like a song, man. The commentary that from the Bible is saying that the Christians should aim to have their conversation sensible, serious, sincere. This is a Christian, how a Christian should talk. That on your lips should be full of words that bring profit to people, edify to people, strengthen them. When they've come around your house to talk, when a new convert comes around your house, you know, yeah, we can, you know, talk about, I'm not saying we can't talk about football and talk about Formula One and talk about, I don't know what ladies talk about, but talk about those things. Amen. And have a few hair magazines. I'm not against that. Pastor, that's sexist. No, I don't know. So anyway, but I'm not saying I'm against that, but it can't be all that. There has to be something that instructs. And this is why, listen, gossip is wicked, man. But we're going to deal with that next week, so. And then last thing he said, not jesting. Remember, the Barnes commentary is just breaking down this text. And this is why it's good to read commentaries to get a deeper understanding of the text. And he speaks about coarse jesting or jesting, meaning to make light and trivializing things. We're not saying that people can't joke. We're not saying that people can't have a laugh. But you can't just always be joking and laughing. You can't make light of everything. Listen, if you're always joking, people are going to take you as a joker. That's it. And one day you're going to, listen, if you're following up on someone or you're working with someone and you're just constantly joking with them, one day you're going to want to instruct them and say, hey, no, you don't want to do that. They take you as a joke. That's what it is. They take you as a joke because you're always joking. The Bible says that how we are to develop people is to have the word of God, the word of Christ, and it says to be able to warn and to edify, to warn and to preach truth. And sometimes you've got to be serious with people. The tongue is like a fire. When the tongue is out of control, it will attack like a lion. There's some people, after they've dealt with you with your tongue, you feel like you've been with a lion. You feel like a lion has just scratched you up. You ever been someone's tongue that's deal with you? Bitten. Sometimes people's words can bite you. You feel like you've been bitten by a shark. You know, a shark will just bite you, drag you down in deep. Some people's words are like that. Maybe some of you are like that. After people have left your company. Maybe there's husbands that your words are like this. That's like a crocodile or an alligator. When those words is clamp onto your wife, and you know what alligators do? They grab onto you and then they spin you around. That's how they feel. Or maybe there's a wife here. Your words make your husband feel like he's been bitten by a shark. He was just swimming. Bam! Maybe there's a parent here that when you speak to your child, your words feel like leave your child like they've been mauled by a lion. See, we need to tame our tongues. We need to control our tongues. This is what the Bible is saying. He says that the tongue is like a fire. Fire can cause great destruction. This tongue, I was going to say, everyone put your tongue out, but it's probably not the best. Probably not the best. But think about it, this little bit of meat, this tongue in our mouth, the Bible says it measures it to like fire. Fire can cause great destruction. And the Bible says the tongue is like that. He says it's small, like a little fire, but what the damage it can do. Those of you that know history, I think they call it the Great Fire of London. Fire of London, I believe it was 1666. Something like that. Someone said no. You better be right. It is right. Those who said no, I love you. They say that this fire broke out. If you just go over the north side of the Thames, you'll see there's a big monument. That's where the London fire started. Just over London Bridge. Go over the north side of London Bridge. To your right, there's a big column. That's where it started. And it started in someone's bakery, I believe it did. And they said that fire started in one little place, and it just started to consume the north side of London. And they say that 13,000 homes were destroyed, and I think 80,000 people were displaced. Really and truly, what we're saying is one fire destroyed an area and displaced people like Battersea. It's like the whole of Battersea being destroyed. Everything we know from one fire. And then the Bible is telling us, see the destruction of fire. See the devastation of fire. See the what fire can do. And it says, but listen, your tongue can do that. You and my tongue can do that damage if it's not tamed. If it hasn't been controlled. One fire destroyed a city. One fire. They said it went on for, I believe, 5 days. 5 days. Imagine that, 5 days, the destruction. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. Can I say to you, your words can keep burning. That you can speak words and they can just keep going. That maybe here, inside of some of you, you are still being burnt from words that were spoken to you years ago. Words that have been, that are destroying your life because somebody spoke words to you. Someone said something to you. Maybe a friend, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a parent said something to you, and that fire is still burning and scorching at you and controlling you and keeping you in a cage and living under the shadow of those words. Can I say today, we need to be careful about what we say, because you're starting a fire that may not be put out as quick as it came out of your mouth. You can just say one word. You could speak to someone right after this service and say something to them, and it could burn for days, months, and years. You can go home tonight and open your mouth, and you haven't learned to tame your tongue, and you put something into your marriage or something into your family, and it just burns. And you will be living in the ashes of what your tongue created. The Bible is trying to warn us. This thing is no joke. See, one match could destroy a house. One word can destroy a family. Listen, you don't have to have like to burn a house down. All you need is one match. All you need to do is go in the corner, get one match, and start to set a pillar on fire. One match. You put a pillow on fire, the pillow's consumed by it now. You throw it onto the bed covers, and now the bed's being consumed. And now the wardrobe is on fire, the carpet's on fire. You open the door, it comes out, it reaches the kitchen and the bathroom and all these other spaces. And now the whole house has been destroyed. And maybe someone else's house, and maybe all the houses in the street. And it only started by one match. One match has the potential to do that. The Bible is saying your tongue may be tiny. Your tongue is like one of the smallest muscles maybe we have. I don't know. But listen, it seems so small, a little word. But if it's not controlled, the Bible is saying, think of the damage. Think of the damage. It describes the tongue as a world of iniquity, a world of sinfulness. A world. A world. Like, the Bible says, think of what's in this thing. Think of what it can do, the damage it can do. You know, when something's out of control, it's no longer useful. When something's out of control, usually no one can use it. And when your tongue is out of control, it does disqualify you from being used by God. See, when you're out of control, God can't use you. When your tongue is out of control, God can't use you. But there is someone that can use you. If your tongue is out of control, listen, there is a use for you. And in our text, he says, this thing is set on fire by hell. A tongue which has not been tamed, a tongue which is out of control, a tongue with some owned by someone who thinks and says, who vents every emotion, the Bible says hell will use your tongue. The pit of hell itself will vomit out its will and find expression in the earth through your mouth. Maybe because of some of the words of people in this church, the devil has access into the church. The devil is looking for expression in the church, and he's finding it through people's mouths. Because you open your mouth and he's finding it into that fellowship, into that little gathering, into that little place, into that marriage, into that family. He's looking for an opening. He's looking for a way to express himself. The devil always wants to express himself, because we understand that, because Jesus speaks about when the evil spirit goes out of a man, what does it say? He walks in the dry places and it's looking, and it's like he thirsts and he hungers, because unless he's embodied something, a human experience, he cannot have any expression. And so he goes back to that place. The Bible is showing us, listen, demonic expression will be found and expressed and displayed through a tongue which is not in control and not tamed. Imagine that in your home, you're speaking things that are from hell. Imagine over your children. Think about this then. It's not even in my notes, but let me finish. Think of the devil, yeah? And the demonic evilness. The devil wants to destroy everything. Listen, if the devil has his way, people think, oh no, the devil, he wants us to have fun. He wants us to party. This is what the devil, hell is going to be doing. And party, we're having fun, smoking, drinking, woo! Short dresses, guys. You know, listen, no. That's not hell. Now God's just going to be like soft music. Dun, 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 dun. Like in an elevator. That's going to be like heaven. And you'll be like, hey, how you doing? You cool? Yeah, I'm cool. And it's like, no. The devil's desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil's desire that he would break every limb, step on you, and knock and keep you alive simply just so that he can inflict more pain on you. His desire is to rape. His desire is to abuse. His desire is to rape children. His desire is to kill babies. His desire is to twist and mangle and have mankind depressed and crushed. His desire is that your children will be destroyed. His desire is that your marriage will fall apart in tatters. His desire that your purity will be shattered. His desire, ladies in this place, is that your body will be used out so that you no longer even value who you are or know who you are. His desire in this place for every man is that his manhood would be destroyed, his masculinity would be eradicated, that he would be incarcerated, that he would die a lonely, whatless, just a life that means nothing. This is the devil's desire. But think of all of that. We know that, Pastor. You're not telling us nothing new. Well, if that's his desire, why would you allow him to have his expression through your mouth, speaking to your life, speak to your wife, your husband, your kids? Speak to your church. Yeah. He says it's on fire from hell. The picture I think of, and I want to gross you out, let me say it. As you open your mouth, the devil comes out of it. He just comes out of it. And now he's just walking around your life, touching things, and they wither and destroy. Yeah.
and I'll destroy it. Simply because we just didn't, we're not guarding it. You become the mouthpiece of hell. See, when I when I speak into this mic, it comes out these speakers. I'm not in the speakers, I'm speaking into the mic. When you don't control your tongue, you're a speaker from hell. You're just the speaker from hell. And so the devil's in hell and he's got his mic. And so the wife that has, ya idiot. Say that to him. Say that to him now. You're worthless. And so the parent. Yeah, see? You know, you're the speaker from hell. You have your fellowship. Did you hear about so and so? Did you know before you came to church 20 years ago, on a dark night, you're speaking hell. You're speaking from hell. Let me prove it. Job 2 verse 9. Have we got that? This is Job's wife. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." She tells, this is what she says. Curse God. That's what Job's wife. And we'd be like, oh, how could she say that? Oh, that's so wicked and evil. And oh, listen, she's lost her children. She's lost her children, man. She's suffering. She's going through something. We look at that. Oh, how could she say that? She's going through some of the. She's gone into the darkest tunnel a woman can go into. She's become emotional. She's no longer controlling her tongue as she's saying these things. Where did she get these words from? Job 1:11. Before this ever happened, this is what the devil desired. The devil is speaking to God and he says, "But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has." Speaking about Job. "And he will surely curse you to your face." Remember, that was the devil's desire. The devil said, "Listen, I'm going to make Job curse you." Job goes through. What did the devil want him to do? To curse God. That's the devil's desire. When this woman goes through her darkest moment and she's no longer in control, she voices the very thing which is from hell. She's voicing what's from hell. She didn't just think of that out. She didn't just grab that out of thin air. Curse God and die. No. That was the devil speaking through her. We know that the Bible shows us that the devil was always trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, "I'm going to the cross." Peter says, "Listen, you will not go to the cross." Peter, who told you that? Who told you to say that to Jesus? Jesus lets us know where that came from. Matthew 16:23. "And he turned and he said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" See, when Peter speaks, Jesus sees right through it. Says, "I know who this is. I know." Listen, he don't even deal with Peter. He says, "I know where this came from. This is not from you. This is from hell. You don't want me to get to the cross, because the devil knows if I don't go to the cross, mankind is damned. Mankind has no hope." And when Peter gets emotional, and we see why he says it, because Jesus gives us the insight into his heart. Says, "You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." He's saying that you're not thinking spiritually. You've become carnal, emotional. See, that's the problem many times. We become carnal and emotional. And when you become carnal and emotional and you start opening up your mouth, you think like a man, you speak like a man, and now you're going to start speaking from hell. See, if you do not have your tongue under control and hell gets hold of it, you're starting to speak from hell. And your life is now open to fear. You're going to speak words which are fearful. I don't think that's going to work. Words of doubt. You're going to start speaking curses over your life and the life of those around you. You're putting curses on them. Blasphemy. You start to say things which are just the things I've heard people say. Accusing God, saying things about God. Don't you understand that's blasphemy? But when we get emotional, when we have no control over our tongue, when we are not thinking straight, we open our mouth and we say things that we would never say. And it's simply because an uncontrolled tongue, the devil will use. In our text, he says, no man can tame the tongue. But I want to say to you today, God is not a man. See, the Spirit of God can tame the tongue. It's very interesting when you understand what he's speaking about, the tongue and fire. And then when we look in Acts 2 verse 1, then on the day of Pentecost had fully come, when they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Listen, flesh and the devil may have their tongue of fire. God says, listen, I'm going to give you a tongue of fire. I'm going to give you a tongue of fire. And that fire is going to burn without destroying. The Bible says when they received the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire came on them. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The first sign we see, let's look at the imagery. The Holy Spirit comes down and the first things we see is tongues of fire and them speaking what the Spirit tells them to speak. The first thing that God deals with when he comes down with his Holy Spirit is the tongue. The first thing God wants to deal with us tonight is the tongue. See, we can get you into church, that's your feet. We can get you to sing. We can get you to do all these things. But what God wants, he wants control of your tongue tonight. If you've got the Holy Spirit and you're filled with God, God says, if I get your tongue, I've got you. Pastor James Wilkins preached a marvelous sermon last week about the tongue and how we speak to ourselves. You think about it, Peter is the one that Jesus rebukes. Get behind me, Satan. Here is a man full of fear, insecurity, and he speaks from hell. But when the Holy Spirit comes down, he's the first one who stands up and he preaches under the influence of the Holy Spirit. His tongue is now sanctified and commissioned and in control by God and the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 souls are saved. Listen, if God can get hold of our tongue, he can change this world. He can do something, but he got to get hold of our tongue. See, the Holy Spirit will change your tongue. Galatians 5 verse 16. And I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, in Galatians 5, in verse 20, it speaks about what the flesh is. I'm not going to list all of them, but one of the manifestations of the flesh is outbursts. Outbursts of wrath. How many ever had an outburst of wrath? You just, okay, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to be a Christian. Praise God. Hallelujah. My days. What? You're pushing it now. Are you? Outburst of wrath. He says, that's the flesh. But in Galatians 5:23, just three verses later, it speaks about the Spirit. And the Spirit manifests, and one of the manifestations of the Spirit. So here you have the flesh outbursting. Then when you have the Spirit, it says one of the manifestations, the signs or the proofs of having the Holy Spirit is self-control. See, when you burst, that's out of control. How many ever had a water balloon and you burst it? When me and my wife, this was funny, when we went to the marriage retreat, we walked along the pier and we was looking at some people. going into the water. It was hot, and so they were all swimming. It was nice, really hot day. It's like Spain or, you know, one of these hot places. It was hot, and so there was this dread. He stood out, and so he had this big ring like an inner tube, and so he's there, and so he's paddling out, He's looking cool, and so as he's there, he's just paddling out, and a wave hits him, and his fingers burst. It just burst, and he just sunk. And he just got up. I just dragged it. You can see him. When you burst, it's out of control. A burst, that's what it is. You've burst. You burst. And now it's just all coming out of your mouth. Hell is coming out of your mouth. Putrid poison is coming out of your mouth because you burst. But the Bible says if you've got the Holy Spirit, it's self-control. Yeah. I won't burst. I don't burst. This is self-control. See, the Holy Spirit says, listen, I want control of your tongue. I want control of your tongue. Psalms 141 verse 3. Do we have it? No? Maybe not. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my lips, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Think about this now. Set a guard over my mouth. He's praying to God. He's saying, God, God, God. You know, all the time, one of the things we said, whenever we're here, there's always an usher outside. There should always be an usher at the door, an usher there. And they're not a guard, but there's always someone there to make sure what happens. We understand what a guard is. You see a guard when they're bringing out one of those security boxes. It's a guard. You go to a castle or Buckingham Palace, there's guards. Not anything could just come in and out. If you've ever gone down, if you've ever gone past 10 Downing Street, I remember someone telling me, an old person telling me, when you could just go down 10 Downing Street, you could just walk there. You could just walk down 10 Downing Street. If you know now, you can't walk down there. There's a big gate there. You could just look down there, like down there, that little door. There's guards there. And the Bible is saying that the psalmist is praying, God, put a guard. Put a guard over my mouth. That when something emotional or something crazy or something carnal or something stupid or something unedifying or something from my old life or my carnal life, God wants to come out. Listen, I'm not impressed by people's religiosity. I'm not impressed by the religious dress and the religious words and the religious. I want to hear what's coming out of your mouth. And he says, put a guard. Listen, I've felt this. There's times when I've sat down with people and they've said things and I'm about to say, you listen, you're nuts. You're nuts. What are you talking about? As the pastor. And God's like, don't say nothing. I've actually felt it, like it's coming. I'm going to say it. And I've actually felt the Holy Spirit restrain me. That literally restrained me, like, Courtney, that won't help them. No problem, sis. We can pray about this. We can get you through this. Because the Holy Spirit is like a guard over our mouth. Listen, you maybe hear you're quiet. You're like, oh no, I'm just one of those quiet ones. Listen, those quiet ones, when you get them going, or you get them secret, some of those quiet ones that are dishing out. I thought I was joining. Ephesians 4 verse 28. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Are your words building us up, edifying, bringing courage? Colossians 4 verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. He says, let your speech always, say always, be with grace. Everything we say. Now, let me just say something here. We're going to end. None of us have arrived. No one ain't arrived here. I ain't arrived. There's times I've said things like, why did I say that to them? Why did I even... None of us have arrived. But some of us haven't even started to try. And what God wants to do by His Holy Spirit is set your tongue on fire for Him. See, because either your tongue is out of control and it's a fire from hell, or it's submitted to God through the Holy Spirit, and now your tongue is filled with grace, speaking and fanning the fire of revival. See, it's, you know what's going to bring revival? What's going to change this area? We've got more than 100 people in this building today. And if every single one of us leave this place with our tongues influenced by the Holy Spirit, telling people about Jesus, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, speaking to people about Jesus in our families, in our workplaces, and our friends, in our lives. Listen, even in your marriage or with your family, speaking words of grace brings revival. It just brings revival. Most of you here are very young. Most of you here don't have children yet. And God, listen, I don't want to sound funny, but thank God. Because some of you need to learn how to speak before you have those children. Because children are vulnerable. They need to be nurtured. They need to grow up in an environment where there is grace and words being spoken that encourage and lift them up and build them. Not negative words. They don't need to see that. They don't need to see arguing between parents and violence and anger and all of this madness. They don't want that. They don't need it. You're not... I know people do love people, but listen, we got to get this thing under control. Tonight we want to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, God, I want you to use my tongue.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.